My name is Richard Irwin. My official title is a technology solutions professional. Essentially, I do mobile DevOps for the Xamarin team. I'm fairly new, and so unlike Richie, I think he was UK Xamarin employee number 4 or something. I'm actually the most recent employee into Xamarin. And weirdly, I don't come from a mobile development background. I've spent the last about 5 years as a DevOps consultant, looking at people's process, how they can use tools to improve the delivery of value to their customers. And then before that, I spent about probably 10 years with Microsoft in the UK doing essentially developer tools. So working as a dev tool specialist with Team Foundation Server and things like that. So this is kind of interesting. So in some respects, I'm doing a lot of learning and getting up to speed with the Xamarin platform. So a lot of the stuff that I'm going to show you today, in fact, nearly all of the stuff I'm going to show you today, you don't have to be using Xamarin to work with it. And it's going to be, it's kind of interesting. So even if you're doing native development today, then that's absolutely fine. We'll show you the stuff, and hopefully there'll be something here that's interesting. So we'll kick off. DevOps is probably, as a term, I suppose over the last couple of years, it's really got a lot of traction. We used to talk about the software development lifecycle, and then everyone has started to talk about application lifecycle management, and now everybody's talking about DevOps. And in some respects, the things are almost the same. They're just slightly extended versions of each other. If you go on LinkedIn, have a look at what people are recruiting for, you hear a lot of, I'm recruiting for a DevOps engineer, or I want someone to join my DevOps team. And it's one of those terms that kind of mean different things to different people. Probably, making sure my thing's still there, probably one of the better definitions I've heard is from a chap called Donovan Brown. If you've come across any of the DevOps sessions, any of the VSTS sessions at Microsoft recently, you'll probably have seen Donovan Brown. He did a lot of the stuff at Connect last week. But his definition is essentially DevOps is a union of people, process, and I like to say tools rather than products, to enable continuous delivery to your end users. And that's probably about the best thing. You can't do DevOps without those three things. You need to have the right people involved, so it's no point going, we're going to do DevOps, but the ops team, the guys who deal with our databases aren't involved in this stuff. Our developers or our testers aren't on board with it. We need everybody engaged. We need to figure out what that process is, how we take something from I'm committing some code right to that code getting deployed onto the device or into the cloud or whatever we're using. And hopefully we need some tools. We need to do some automation, and we'll show you some stuff that we've got today. I specifically sort of focus on the mobile side of things, but probably most of this, the concepts are applicable to any kind of development. This is ultimately my presentation, my session in one slide. So if you kind of have a couple of drinks, forget everything else. If you kind of remember this, then at least you can go back and figure out what I was talking about. Richard talked about this a little bit, but Xamarin was acquired, I think initially started in sort of March this year, and it all got finalized in the summer. And HockeyApp, a German company, they were bought, I think they were a couple of years ago. I suppose HockeyApp, they maybe didn't quite know where it fitted, where worked with the whole kind of Microsoft ecosystem. But with the acquisition of Xamarin, all of a sudden this stuff's kind of come together. They've got a plan, and actually got probably quite a unique DevOps solution. There's not too many other people are doing this kind of end-to-end. We're talking about lots of different things. So planning and tracking your project. We're thinking about it. So VSTS is a great tool. Is anybody here using Team Foundation Server, Visual Studio Team Services? Yeah, a few? Yeah. You might be using something else, maybe Jira, Fogbugs, any number of tools, maybe some crazy IBM user. Sorry, what was that? Yes, indeed, yeah. Just stick a few together, it'll all be fine. So VSTS is obviously the cloud version of Team Foundation Server. We'll take a little look at this. We could spend the rest of the session talking about VSTS, but we'll not. That's my kind of favorite subject, but we'll not talk about too much about that. And we'll talk about version control. So again, there's been a big shift to distributed version control systems over probably the last I would say 3 to 5 years. Lots of people interested in things like Git. And I used to spend a lot of my time telling people, yeah, don't use Git. Use Team Foundation Server version control. Use centralized version control. But it seems to be a bit of a unstoppable force these days. So with the Microsoft toolset, that's fine. If you want to use Git, that's absolutely fine. We can now do that as part of the VSTS solutions. You can even mix and match if you want as well. And again, we'll take a little look at that. This is the only thing. This is the only part of my session which is Xamarin specific. So you want to build some cross-platform native applications. We'd like you to use Xamarin, obviously. We'd like you to use Azure for your back end as well. That's great. But then we come on to things like continuous integration. Lots of people will be using things like maybe Jenkins or Credibuild or TeamCity or some of the other cloud build systems. But essentially, what we want to be doing is getting that continual feedback about our development, that we're checking in some code, we're running our tests, and we're bringing that feedback back, not kind of getting it out to a user and then finding our problems. Testing is a big issue. I mean, obviously, everyone here who's doing development is doing unit testing, integration testing, and doing all that stuff that they should be. But we also want to do some UI automation as well. We'll talk more about that in a second. Beta testing, again, there's other tools out there, things like TestFlight. You might be using the Play Store, kind of beta channel, things like that. But what if we could actually take all of our cross-platform, all of our development, all of our iOS development, our Android development, our Windows Phone development, our UWP development, and bring that all together into one portal where we can see all of the crash reports and so on from those various platforms. And we want to get feedback from our users, bring that in. There's a great white paper from the developer division at Microsoft, guys who do Visual Studio and so on. And it's about their kind of move from, I guess, delivering a tool that they deliver every 2 years, and that'll be fine, to something that's kind of continuously delivered. So their cloud platform around VSTS. And they've got a very good sort of bit there where they will be taking all the usage statistics, the crashes, the problems that they've got, and using that to drive the backlog that they have in their project. So they're not necessarily just going to, I don't know, user voice and saying, well, what do people want? Or getting their kind of program managers to figure out what should be on their backlog. They're using empirical data from the system that they're running to drive their backlogs. And when things are crashing, when people are using one thing more than another, that's what they're going to work on, and that's what they will stick in the backlog. And again, collect all that. So that's kind of it, and that's what I'm going to show you today, hopefully. We'll make the slides available. You can go and download those, and you can have a look through these various things. But if you look at the kind of the big blue balls there, that doesn't sound right, the big things here in the middle, we'll talk about some of the key practices and principles of DevOps. So flow of customer value. The longer you're developing something, the longer that's costing you money, you're not getting the value from it. So we want to get that stuff out to our end users, get them using it, and take that feedback and take the value that they're getting. We've got things like our team autonomy and enterprise alignment, refining our backlog through learning. And these are all things that we're talking about today with the different tools. So you can take a look at these and see which of these you're actually doing in your own development. So why do we want to do this? We essentially want to increase the quality of our application. It's essential on mobile applications. We're not having issues, we're not having crashes, because we will lose our customers. And that's something that's obviously more important in mobile than other forms of development. We want to shorten the development life cycle, release faster, and we want to increase our ability to innovate. So as people are saying, I don't know, maybe the market's going in a different way, or people are using our app for something we hadn't really considered before, we want to jump on that and make sure we can get that value out and get them maintain those users. So what about mobile quality? As I said, quality of mobile is probably more of an issue than sort of typical development. People will maybe be using, maybe say, a developer tool. You might be a little bit more forgiving if something crashes. But if I take my wife as an example, she was downloading an app just the other day, I think it was a video player or something she wanted, and she wanted a specific feature. So she went in, she did a little search, she found the video player that she wanted. And I think it was, she wanted to do sort of 1.5 times playback speed. So she went on, she found the top app on the Play Store, and she downloaded it. She gave it approximately 30 seconds, and that app didn't do exactly what she wanted. She uninstalled it, moved on to the next one. And that's the kind of thing that you're dealing with. Users are very vocal. If there's a problem on your app, they're on giving you feedback, giving you those one-star reviews. So really have to think about this quality and not get it out to our users and then find the problems. So users, especially mobile users, you know, maybe non-technical users, they have high expectations. They expect this stuff just to work. So we can't have these problems. But one of the other big issues, and in fact, less so maybe on iOS, but still a bit of an issue, but more so on Android, is device fragmentation. And you've probably all bumped into this. This is a white paper, I think, a company called OpenSignal did, and they did a little bit of a study about what devices were downloading their application. And they did it back in 2013, they did it again in 2015, and I think they've just put one up for 2016 as well. And in 2013, they had nearly 12,000 unique Android devices downloading their app. So 2 years later, it was, getting up for 20,000. And this is only going to get worse. So more and more device manufacturers, more and more versions of Android, and you just don't know, more form factors. And you need to make sure that your app is going to handle that. Now, typically when we are doing kind of manual testing, we have a handful of devices, maybe in the office, you know, and people will kind of bring out their personal devices. And that's fine, but most people in dev teams, they like technology, and they'll have a decent phone. So they'll have maybe a big phone, it'll be quite a powerful phone with a good processor in it. But what about those rubbish little phones, your little, you know, cheap old Android phone that you picked up for free on your contract, maybe a little 4-inch screen or something? Are we going to be sure that our application is going to work on those? We might not have one kicking around, and we need to be able to test on that. So what we're thinking about is really shifting left, testing early, automate early. It means that if we make some changes, we can just throw that stuff out. We can just make sure that those key user journeys through our app are working successfully. So the typical quality model, and this has been, probably in the past 15 years when I've been talking about this stuff, this has always been the problem. Testing always gets squeezed out. So development overruns, we'll just do that one more thing, we'll just squeeze this one more feature in, and then we don't have time to test it. Release it anyway, it'll be fine, I'm sure nothing could have gone wrong. And of course, we're finding those issues too late in the development lifecycle. So what we want to do, we want to push that quality to the left, we want to be thinking about automation, getting our testers involved. And again, this is all kind of agile processes and so on that we've all been thinking about for a long time. I had a slide that wasn't as pretty as this slide, and again, this was probably, it's got to be 10 years ago. I was presenting a slide very similar to this. And again, the concept is still there. It's still very valid that if we can find these issues at development time, at requirements gathering time even, rather than when we get out to our beta testers or worse, we deliver something into the store, it costs us less money, it costs us less time, and it's much easier to fix the problems. So I'm not saying UI automation is going to solve all your problems. It's not there to replace things like unit testing, and integration testing, and testing your back end. It's not there to do that. But what we want to do is simulate what your users will be doing with that app. They're moving around, they're clicking that. Are they getting what they expect to see? So that's what we want to do. And again, you can do this with simulators and so on. That's fine, but nothing is going to get around doing this on a physical machine. Now, I haven't too many more slides. I want to show you some stuff. How am I doing for time? Oh, way over. If anybody checked out the Connect event, which again, Rich mentioned was, I think, about 2 weeks ago, they did sort of 2 days, and then they did the third day, was run by a mixture of Channel 9 and Xamarin University. If you haven't sort of played around with a lot of this stuff, if you're maybe new to Xamarin, they did some free events. They did an introduction to XAML, they did an introduction to Xamarin Forms, They did a session on Hockey App. They did a session on consuming Azure services. So all the stuff that we're kind of talking about. So what I thought I'd do is I'd take what they did and essentially do another session that just bolts on the end of that, does a little bit of the DevOps piece with what they've done. So hopefully with this session, what you could do, you can go and grab these, have a look on Xamarin University page or Channel 9. You can download the source. You can download the sessions as well. And then this, hopefully, will just kind of feed into that. So you'll remember this, and you can have a play around with it. Okay, so let's see, I don't want to do that. Leave that there. Flip across. So this is Xamarin Test Cloud. I'm going to zoom in a little bit there. There we go, that's not so bad. What we're looking at here are nearly 2,500 devices running in a big data center. It's okay, I don't need that right now. Running in a big data center, I think it's currently in Denmark. And these are 2,500 physical devices. They are just like the devices you've got stuck in your pocket or in the drawer in the office. They're not kind of compromised in any way. But what it allows you to do is say, okay, I want to test my app, but I want to test it on, let's say, the one always sort of, I always forget about, if we think, right, okay, let's look at phones and maybe iOS. Let's go back to iOS there. And you might think, okay, iPod Touch, fifth generation, sixth generation. I probably don't have one of those anymore because who's got an iPod Touch anymore? But they are still being used quite heavily for, you know, people downloading apps and so on. They can keep them up to date and they can download their apps. They just aren't phones. But we're maybe not thinking about those and we don't have one of those kicking around. We maybe have, you know, an iPad mini, but we don't have a full-size iPad. So what we want to do is be able to test on these devices. So we can take a look at any of these. If I grab a 6 Plus, perhaps, I can dive in, see what it's all about, see what processor's in there, see how much memory it has, see what the physical specification is, how big is it. And then we're looking also at what versions of the operating system are actually running that. So in this case, there are 111 iPhone 6 Pluses, and they are running iOS 8, 9, and 10 on there. So they will have certain amounts of each of those operating systems running on an iPhone 6 Plus. So if I flip into a little test run, what we're looking at here is a test run that I've been kicking off through Visual Studio Team Services. So essentially a continuous integration build, I check in some code, and it goes off and kicks off the build and runs it on, I think, about 6 or 8 devices. Now, what we ideally want is to be able to take our tests and then just push them out to as many devices as we like. I just, for time purposes, I've reduced the amount of devices. So what we're going to do, all right, cool. You can see the example, I just started doing this just the other day, 29th. I'll take this last run, which is probably completed. I'll click into that. Yeah, if I could click properly, there it is. There we go. And what that's showing me is that I've got one failing test and one pass test. Now, these are not the greatest examples of tests. These just happen to be the tests that came with the little solution that they presented at Connect. So I must go off and write some more tests for this. But what I can do is have a look at this and see that we've got... We ran on, how many devices? 7 devices across 4 operating systems. It took about 37 minutes to run on all of those. And, with 37 minutes of device time, it took about 50 minutes to do this. We can see things like the peak memory, the app size, and so on. But we can also see that we had a problem on Android 5.1. It was a phone and happened to be an LGE device. And what I can do then is click into that test and see that there was an issue on this device. Now, I don't know what caused that issue. I can dive in and have a look at it in a second. But if I want, let's do a slightly better one. I can look at all the devices. And again, you could do this on 100 devices. It's really up to you. I just did it for time purposes. And I can walk through my little app. It's not a particularly exciting app, so I probably need to stick some more stuff into this. All I did do was add... a lovely button in the top left which says crash me, which I need later on. And essentially it's just a little test. So this just starts an exam and then cancels out of it. But for any of those things, I can have a look and say, okay, well, what are the details of this device that it's running on? So it happens to be a Nexus 6P, what the screen size is. I can dive in and say, okay, well, we've lost again. I've got the full-size view. And I can see that on the test log that it was running, well, you probably can't read that, but that's essentially the output of my end unit test run. So I've got all this information that I can kind of figure out why this test was failing, and I can see that, I say, on that one device, which I suspect was because it was a little tiny device and something wasn't visible, but we can dive a look at that. And then I've got a longer one here, which basically go through a full test. I can actually kill it of that and see them all together. So I can see how that looks. No, I can't. I can see it, you guys can't. So I can see how my tests run on all of the particular devices. So you're thinking, okay, well, how do I write a test? How do I get it into the test cloud? And that's relatively easy. So if we just go here and do a new test run, if I've already uploaded my, in this case, an APK, but it's an Android or iOS, I've uploaded my APK, then it's available for me here. I can just already use it. Or in fact, we'll do that now. We'll just use it. I've already got one uploaded. And next on that, we get the football. And essentially, what I'm going to do is choose the devices that I want to run on. Now, you can look at these and say, well, okay, just give me the devices that are available right now that we can go and use. Give me devices that are a certain operating system, a certain form factor. And I might just say, in this case, I'm just going to choose a few of these. So let's say top six are there. So select those six devices. Choose a name for this test run. Is it my smoke test, my release test, beta test, whatever? Choose my system locale. I'll just do UK and hit next. And then this is the key bit of information that I need here. So I can take this little thing, and you don't really need to see it, but I've got three choices for writing these tests. Number one, I can use UI test. UI test is essentially C# code, which we're all happy with writing, hopefully. And it builds on top of a UI test framework called Calabash. It was written by a Danish company originally, who were acquired by Xamarin a good few years ago, and that was kind of the genesis of Test Cloud and UI test. So UI test is essentially an abstraction above that. We got any Ruby developers in? No, we don't. I don't get many of them. So I don't come from a Ruby background. I haven't used Ruby that much, and I find a little bit tricky, but you know, it's not that bad, but I much prefer to write in C#. So I can use C# UI test, I can use Calabash and Ruby, that's fine, or they just announced support for Appium and Java, so I'll use JUnit instead of NUnit, I'll use Java instead of C#, and again, I'll write those tests and upload those. So anyone coming maybe from an Android background will maybe be happier in that, but I'm going to use UI test today, and this is all I need to push this test into Test Cloud. So I'm running an OS X, it's essentially a .NET package, so I've got mono at the front there, or if I'm running in Windows, so I just need packages. But the key bits of information here, obviously my APK file that I want to push up to the Test Cloud. I've got a team API key, which is kind of like a personal access token for Test Cloud, that says I've got permissions to go and write there. And then the other key thing here is this little device hash. So those six devices that I chose are represented by that hash. So those six devices with those particular operating systems are represented by that hash. And that means that's something I can reuse. So I can give that to some of my team, say, hey, can you run it on these devices? Or I can, in a second, plug that into my continuous integration system and again, run it on these devices. So if I'm gonna run Test Cloud, if I'm gonna run UI tests as part of a continuous integration build, I want to make sure that stuff is running quickly. We don't want our CI build taking 2 hours or 3 hours to come back to us. So you might take, let's say it's an Android build. Might take a large form factor Android device, a small form factor Android device, take the latest version of the most recent version of Android that I support, and the oldest version of Android that I support. Run that on those two devices. That's only four test runs that I need. Stick that into your CI build. Then, when you do maybe a nightly build, you're going to bump it up to more tests, more devices, and we don't really care if it takes a few hours because we're off having a pint or having sleep. So that's what I need to do. Now I can take that. You can see here it's just looking for a packages folder. So essentially, if I can flip over to here, this is where I expect to be. You can't really see that. But if I wanted, I could just grab that thing. So all I've done is I've just plugged in the version of the UI test package that I'm using. I could grab that. I could flip to a terminal window, which just happens to be sitting in that. So you can, if I can bump that up, you can see. There we go. So you can see there that it's basically just sitting in the root of my solution. There's a packages folder in there. And in that is a UI test package. And in there is the testcloud.exe that I need to run this. So I can just essentially, if I got this right, what I was just doing this very quickly, does not look right. I've copied the wrong one. Yes, I have. Let's delete that out. While I'm doing this, you may be looking at thinking, oh, it's kind of weird to see a Microsoft presenter using a Mac. I'm just going to control command C. But when I joined Xamarin, I come from I was at Microsoft for a long time, probably when it was a much less open company, perhaps. So I never used any iPhones, any Macs, didn't touch them. And so when I joined Xamarin, they were like, here's your Mac, here's your Surface Book, and I'm fine with the Surface Book and Visual Studio, but Xamarin Studio on the Mac, not so useful. And I said to one of my colleagues, how do I get up to speed? And he said, total immersion. So I'm 100% Mac at the minute, which makes me feel a little bit strange, but I'm getting there. So if I do anything weird with this, usually what happens is people shout out, oh, you can just do this. And I go, oh, okay, another tip that I can take. So I'll Command C instead of my Control C, paste that in. That looks healthier. Nah, I got it wrong. I'm not too worried about doing this because I'm just going to kick off and cancel anyway. But essentially, I'm just going to run that from the command line, and it's going to go off and do it. And the fine thing is you can go, okay, I can run those tests, but you know what will happen. You will forget to do that, you won't do it, or you might do it like once a month or something, and then you'll find they're failing, and then you won't go, oh, I can't be bothered to fix those, got other things to do. And that's what will happen. So what we want to do is make this part of our continuous integration. I'll just flip back to the slides a second. So where I spend a lot of my time is in VSTS. If you haven't sort of used this, again, you don't have to be using Xamarin or Visual Studio to make use of this. It's great for tracking your projects, tracking your agile process, giving you your Kanban boards and all that good stuff that you may be using, I don't know, Linkit or Jira or whatever for at the minute, or maybe you're still like Excel and things like that, but that's fine. But it does a lot of stuff, and it's well worth taking a look at. So what we want to do, if you look at the kind of the top apps, I mean, how often do you sort of pick out your phone and overnight you've got like four or five apps that have been updated? And you go, okay, fine. You maybe never encountered a problem, or you didn't maybe request a feature or think a feature was missing, but they are updating these things all the time, delivering you new values, bug fixing. And it just gets updated in your phone, and you think, fine, move on. Most people have got fast connections, Wi-Fi home. So if you look at the big ones, the average time for, Twitter, Snapchat, most of these, you start to go down these, I think, yeah, don't use that. I'm not a 16-year-old girl. I don't have Snapchat, but there you guys do, I don't know. But they're doing fast delivery of their apps. So they're getting released again and again. As they kind of figure out what those problems are, they're just pushing them out, not waiting for a big release of the product. So that's kind of what we want to do. If we flip across, let's do this. So we look at this information and say, this Team API key, I've got my device hash. So how do I get that into VSTS? So this is, let's go home here. This is my VSTS project. And again, sort of fairly quickly put together. There we go. And I've got a little backlog in here. I've got a little dashboard that I set up, it's not a pretty dashboard, but it's functional. And I can see all the builds, I can see my test results, I can see bugs coming back from my users, my beta users that are coming back in here, and hopefully we'll get this to bump up in a second. And all I did was essentially create a CI build. So I've got a Git project, Git repo within this project, that when I commit some code from my little project sitting in Xamarin Studio here, it's going to kick off this build for me. And you think, oh, well, that's a lot of work to do that. But actually, it's super easy to do. So I'm going to go to builds. I've got one set up here. So it's this little exam project, Android, and it's got XTC included. So how do I do that? I just hit new on there. And well, can you sort of read that? Let's see if I can bump it up a little bit. There we go. If you look at this, this is me starting a new build, having a new build definition. And you look at this stuff and you think, well, wait a minute, this isn't the Microsoft I recognize. I've got Android, Ant, Maven, Gradle, Jenkins, obviously UWP and Visual Studio. And then I've got my Xamarin Android, Xamarin iOS, and I've got my Xcode builds right down at the bottom. So I don't necessarily have to be using Visual Studio and writing ASP.NET and so on. I've got these build definitions that I can use. And so I'm going to start, I've got a Xamarin Android here, so I'm going to hit next on that. And there's a couple of things I need to do. I think, well, where am I getting the source? Where does the code live for this thing? Now, typically, in my case, this is a, it's in my team project. It's in one of my, in fact, it's in my ExamU repository. So I have multiple Git repos sitting in here. If I'm using GitHub, which many of you will be, that's fine. Just pull it out of GitHub. We can do that. You can clone from GitHub into VSTS, or you can just pull it from GitHub. If you've got your own Git server, again, fine. We'll just pull from that. Or if anybody's unlucky enough to be using Subversion, again, fine. We can pull from there. That's good. So we'll grab that. We're going to build. I've only got my master branch set up. I want to do a CI build. There we go. Click. One tick, and I've got a CI build. Somebody commits something, it's going to kick this build off for me. Then you've got where the build is going to happen. Now, if you're doing Android development, Windows development, fine. We can use the hosted build. If I'm doing an iOS build, then I need to have a Mac agent. I need to have an agent that will be on-premise or Mac and cloud or something like that, but it's got to be running on a Mac in order to build that. That's probably going to change in the future. We'll talk more about that in a second. So I'll just choose hosted on there, create this up, and we've got a couple of things. Rich mentioned the component restore. I'm going to get rid of that. Okay, so we've got the typical things here. So we're going to do a new get restore. We're going to pull down those packages. We're going to build a project. Anything that's got Droid in the project title, we're going to build that up, produce our APK from there. We're going to build our test solution, which I don't know if I'm going to have time to show you now, but essentially our UI test. And then we are going to do our Xamarin test cloud task as well. So without that, essentially it's building up my Android project, building my test project, signing and aligning my APK file, and then publishing all that lovely stuff up into a drop location in my project or my build as well. And then so I want to say, well, okay, well, I want to run my unit tests. I want to run my UI tests in here as well. So we'll take that. We'll come in here and we'll say, let's enable this for a start. So these are just build tasks. In fact, if I want to say, you know what, you know, the thing that I want to do as part of my build isn't in there, let me just grab something else. So I'll just go to utilities, I'll dive in through, there's piles and piles of stuff in here. I'll use, say, PowerShell. I'll grab that. I'll just close that out. And again, I want to run a script as part of my build. Yeah, no problem. We can just point it at a file location and version control. Or if I wanted, I can just do an inline script and just do a little write host hello world in there as well. So easy enough to consume these tasks. If you go to marketplace.visualstudio.com, there are piles of these. So people are writing them all the time. You can write your own if you want. They're all open source on GitHub. You can go and take them and mess around with them if you want. Very easy to extend your build. We want to stick with the test cloud. So what we're going to do, we think, right, we need a team API key, we need a user email, we need a device hash. Where can we get those? Oh, great, we can just go back to this page. We can grab, there's our team API key. I'll just copy that. get back to the right one. Team API key, paste that in. Now, nobody memorized that number. That's my team API key. I don't want you pushing tests into my test cloud account. But you maybe don't, I trust you guys, obviously, but I might not want everybody in my team to have access to that. I want them to push builds in through the, or test through the build, but I don't want them messing around with it. So I kind of want to make that secret. So what I'll do instead, I'll just do a little dollar XTC team API key. And then what I'll do is flip into variables, add a new variable in here, call that one XTC team API key. I'll throw that in. Now, at that point, anybody who's got permissions to edit my build definition can still see that. So now I can paste that in and I can encrypt it up, and it means that that's now saved. So anybody who's got the access to the build definition still can't get access to that. So it's, I can put it in, they can reuse that variable, but they can't see what my key was. And again, useful for passwords and things like that. Okay, in the interest of time, I don't think I'll continue with that one. I'm gonna go and show you my other build. So I have this one ready to go. Let's leave that. This was the one I ran earlier, so I can dive into that. And you can see basically, your sort of demos probably look a bit like this, but essentially failed, now got it working, took everything out of it, put some stuff back in, oh, failed again, okay, and then eventually I got it, but it started failing again. And these are my build reports. If I take this one that succeeded, this was, again, you can see here, it's gonna do the NuGet restore, build my project, build my tests, run my tests in and Test Cloud. And within that as well, I can see things like how many tests, if I get back in there again, how many tests I'm passing, how many I'm failing. And you can see that in there that I was running 14 tests, I didn't get any failures. I get my link down to Xamarin Test Cloud down here so I can go back into the dashboard, investigate any of those problems. But again, that's just a matter of very quickly, CI build, I check, commit something, and I'm getting that information back. Okay, let's do a quick slide. Okay, I wanna leave myself 5-10 minutes to quickly show you the new Mobile Center stuff. So, is anybody using Hockey App? A minute? Yeah, a couple, yeah, good. Okay, so Hockey App's kind of an interesting one. So again, acquisition of a German company a couple of years ago. And when the Xamarin acquisition happened, we had a product called Insights. So again, it did very similar stuff. And they decided they would get rid of Insights. I think it's still around, you can kind of still use it, but it's not kind of the future. And so they rolled a lot of that functionality. There was a little bit of a hoo-ha about stuff not doing exactly the same thing as Insights did. But eventually, Hockey App is kind of the way to go. And it does three things. Beta distribution. So again, I've got a core of people that I want to use my app, and I'm going to use Hockey App to push it out to them. They don't have to go through the store. They'll just install the app on their phones. They'll use it. And all those metrics, all that feedback that I want to get from them is going to come flowing back into my Hockey App portal. Crash reporting. Again, if they have any problems, if the app crashes, I want to know about it. I want to know where it was crashing, why it was crashing, so I can investigate it. And again, using my kind of continuous delivery model, I'm going to push that out to the users. They won't even know there was an issue. I also get things like user metrics. What are they clicking on? What are they using? How many active sessions do we have? And any feedback as well, if they want. So again, I can have a nice big button on my app as it's out to my beta users. They can click on it, annotate a screenshot of what they're seeing, say, we hit this button, it should be red instead of blue, and then we're getting that back, and we can take all that information, push it onto our backlog, and hopefully we get a nice app that everyone loves. So, say, in the interest of time, I will just show you this quickly. So if you haven't sort of started using this stuff, there's a very good session on that link I put up earlier on Connect 2016. It just talks more about how you can kind of plug this into your project. Now, it's not difficult. There's a Hockey App SDK for, if I can find my, there we go. That's not the one on. I also wanted to show you some tests, but we'll see how we're doing for time. So if I just go to, let's go to recent solutions. I've got to exam. Save that. So this is the little sample project that you can go and grab. I'm just going to go. Let's just go. This is my test. So I've got my Android project here. I've got my main activity. And all I've done. So this happens to be obviously an Android Xamarin Forms project, but I've got my Android project here. But if you're doing iOS development, if you're doing native Android development, if you're doing Cordova, whatever it might be, there's generally a Hockey App SDK that you can make use of in here. And really simply, all I've got here is an initialized hockey app in my main activity on create, and I'm just registering with the crash manager. So when I get crashes, I'm gonna report those back. And I've got the metrics manager in here just for some custom events. I haven't put feedback into this, but again, they cover that in the session. You can have a look. And essentially, what's going to happen? I've got a couple of things within my app. I've got one here on my questions page. Where did I put it? Oh, one of my review page. So all I've got is I've got a little hockey app helper class here. I've got a track event method on there, and it basically says when somebody gets to the review page, which says, "Hey, by the way, you've finished the test." I'm just gonna put a little event that says "exam completed." So it just puts a little string and say this many people completed exams. I've got one as well for start exam. So I just, again, very, very simple to make use of. I put a big button on there that says crash me as well. So I just did a divide by zero exception when you call that. And so what that kind of shows itself up as, in this is my app. I've deployed a few versions of it. I should have updated my version number as well, but I didn't. And you can see just the number of users, number of downloads. It's a massive 3 because that was me downloading on a couple of devices. I can see how many sessions, so how many times have I kind of tested this over the last couple of days. Users obviously is pretty low. I can see, do it with two fingers, how many crashes. You can see I just put it up in there, and then the last couple of days I've been putting in a little crash button, so I've been kicking off a few crashes. But what we can see in there, a couple of different things. I see the different versions I've got. I can see how many crashes that I've got. So again, if that goes in. So these first two were thrown up because the little sample goes off to Azure and pulls down some questions from a back end in Azure, much like Rich showed earlier on. And when you first build it, it's going to fail because that doesn't exist anymore. So I just was changing and setting up my back end for it. So they were there, and that's why I got a few crashes. And then you can maybe read that. I don't know. Let's do a control bus. I've got one homepage on crash clicked. And as you might expect, that's when somebody clicks that big red button, kicks off a thing. I get a divide by zero exception in there. But also you'll notice this. I've got tracked and open. So what I can do is go and have a look at that. And I can report that back to my... can add annotation, but I can report that back to my bug tracker, which happens to be VSTS. So again, I can start a new ticket, I can save that off, or I can have that automatically just kicking off and pushing straight into VSTS. So probably what I'll get if I flip over to VSTS now, I think that big button that I had, or the big number in the front was 2, and there you go, whoa, 3. There you go. See, you remembered. See, you got it. So I just sent that over to VSTS, and this is just a query that's looking for bugs that are coming from there. So I've now got an on-crash click in there, and that information is coming out of hockey apps just flowing straight into my VSTS. And, of course, if you've got Jira, you can plug it in. There's all sorts of things, fog bugs and so on, if you want. But you should do VSTS because it's much cooler. So that's fine. We've also got, if I just flip back a little bit quickly, I've got my, too far. There we go. All right, one. I've also got my events in here, and it's also tracking when I've got, so we can see there, user started exam, user completed, and of course, I've got 50 of user starting the exam as I haven't got right through it. And then only when it's showing that review page that I'm getting an event to say that the exam completed. So I'm saying, oh, wait a minute, lots of my people are starting this but not finishing it because I'm tracking those customer events. And obviously I can hopefully use that information to get some interest around what people are actually using and so on. Is that my last slide? Oh, let's do this one thing. So we got Hockey App, that's cool, but what we want to do is make that part of our VSTS. So, you know, we're kicking off crashes, we're sending that information back to VSTS, and that's great, but what we want to do is set up almost like a continuous delivery process. So we've got those builds, so as part of that build, we're going to build our APK or IPA file, we're going to sign it, we're going to do everything we got. So we've got this package, and now, and what do we do with it? we get manually, we fire up Xcode, we submit it into the Apple Store, or we send it off to the Play Store, but we generally do it manually. What about, let's push it out to our beta users straight away. So we've got a new build, bosh, let's go to the beta users. And then if we're getting good feedback from it, let's go and push it into the store. So I'm gonna flip into releases. If you're using Team Foundation Server, I think this came in TFS 2015 update 2, if memory serves. They brought in the kind of web-based release management process. Very cool, it's in VSTS as well, obviously. So I've got one here, I haven't kicked it off yet. And what I set up just the other day was three environments. And we've got, first environment is our private beta. And that environment, what we want to do is say, okay, when something is ready to go, we're gonna take the output of our build and we're gonna push it straight to Hockey App using this app ID. So we've got our app ID here, which is exactly the same as the app ID we see over here. So we're gonna take that app ID and we're gonna push that into our project. And we're gonna basically distribute it out there. So our users, we can say, okay, notify the users, we can publish it to Hockey App, make it mandatory, so the next time they load our app, they go, oh, I have to upgrade, so they go off and they do that. I can send them push notifications, emails, and they go, oh, great, this is a new version, let me go and grab it. So very easy to push into Hockey App directly from this. I might not want to go straight away, so I might not think, well, you know, we don't want every build going in there. We could set up a continuous delivery, so a build will kick off a release, but what we might say is, okay, specific users have to approve that we push into Hockey App. So we can make it, we can't make it automatic, but in this case, I'm gonna put in a few people. Have I got, let's see if I put anybody in. There's Francisco, we'll put in Ollie as well, and there we go. So stick in a couple of people. And we can say, okay, more options than this. And we can say all users in any order. So all these users have to say, yes, push that out to Hockey App. Or we can say all users in a sequential order, so like going through the chain of command, yeah, go ahead, put it in there, the next person goes, they get notified, right, I say yes, you can go, and eventually the big boss will say yes, do it. Or you can just say, look, anyone on this list can assign this off. And that's fine, so we're putting a little bit of control, pushing out to something like Hockey App, and that's fine. But then when we actually do deploy, we get good feedback, we think, right, let's push it out to the store, maybe again into the beta channel or something, I can stick a new environment here. Again, put those approvers on there, maybe more improvers onto this one just because this is getting a bit more public. And then I'm gonna add a task into that. And of course, I can go to the deployment tasks. Here we go, Google Play. I'll go and stick that in. And again, there's one for the Windows Store and the Apple Store as well. And I can say, go and grab the APK, go and put the output of, there's my build and my drop folder. There's my APK file, grab that. We'll stick it into the beta channel, and again, put some release notes and so on. So if we want, we can put a whole approval process and a whole delivery process around those different environments that we have for our app. Right. I would take some questions, but we've got 5 minutes to... Am I right? Oh, I got my timing right. I'm sure it was a quarter past. Let me show some cool new stuff as well. The Connect conference, Thursday, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, they announced Visual Studio Mobile Center. It was called a couple of different things before that, so we may have heard of App Hub and things like that. But essentially, Visual Studio Mobile Center is the kind of evolution of all this stuff. So everything I just showed you, you can use today. You can get a VSTS account, 5 free users, you can go and use it, have a play with it. You can get Hockey App, you get 2 free apps on Hockey App, so go and have a play with that. Test Cloud, you can get a free trial, so have 30 days of firing stuff up into Test Cloud. So you can use all that stuff today. But what you might have been sitting there thinking, well, wait a minute, I've got VSTS here, I've got Hockey App that is very sort of white and stark, it's not the prettiest of apps I've ever seen. And then you've got Test Cloud that kind of looks more Xamarin-y and so on. That's not really an adjective, but... so it all looks a little bit different. And you might think, well, let's bring that together. And again, of course, things like the Xamarin Insights moving to Hockey App, you know, there's different functionality and so on. So what they've effectively done is they've decided they were bringing all that together, putting it into one single UI. So this is the Mobile Center. Now, it is, as I think Rich mentioned, It's early days. I literally got my hands on this yesterday. It's, you know, you probably don't want to be using this stuff for production. However, all the stuff that you're doing in Test Cloud today and Hockey App today and VSTS, you will be able to do and bring that in. So it's not something you don't have to hold off until Mobile Center's there. You will just kind of seamlessly transition into this. So, you know, when you're using Test Cloud, you will just move to using the mobile.azure.com. Okay, so I'm going to dive in. I'll just show you a couple of things here really quickly. There we go. So we'll dive into the Ride 360 app, and this, again, was something they put together for Connect. And you won't be able to see that well, but the key kind of things to see there, add the Mobile Center SDK into your app. So you can actually generate, it'll give you all that kind of information. But if you've hooked this up to your GitHub account, you can actually generate a pull request that will say, go and take this up and put these using statements into my application. So actually grab this, stick it in. You might want to review it first, but you know, it should be fine. It understands what your application is, what platform it's targeting, and will allow you to kind of consume this. On the left-hand side here, we'll see build. And so again, I've got, basically, I can at the minute, point that at my GitHub account. It will look at what's in there and generate a build for each of those things. Again, you're probably gonna have to come in and customize this a little bit, but the builds are there. One of the key things that VSTS doesn't do at the minute is you can have a hosted iOS build as well. So you've got Android builds, you can have hosted build that you do today in VSTS, but you'll also be able to build those iOS projects. So again, if it's a native application, if it's a Xamarin application, doesn't matter, you'll be able to use it. I've got my test, and as you might expect, that is essentially Xamarin Test Cloud. So I've got all the information about those test runs. I can dive in and have a look at the one happened. In fact, November 16th was probably the Connect event. And I can look at that, and again, I can see all my steps on all my devices. So again, looks kind of familiar. This is essentially Test Cloud. In fact, it is Test Cloud, but we're gonna bring it all together and display it in that one UI. On the left-hand side, I've also got Distribute. So again, Distribute, sounds a bit like Hockey App, pushing out to my beta users. So I'm gonna be able to do that as well. Push this out to my beta users, but again, it's all tied up together, and I don't have to flip around for the different things. You've got things like crashes. Again, sounds a bit like Hockey App. We've got the crash analytics, and then we've got analytics about what our users are doing. So daily sessions, session duration, top devices connecting up to this, where my app is being used, where the countries are coming from, and so on. So I'm getting all this information. Again, a much more, kind of feel like a more kind of readable, much prettier view of this stuff as well. And then on top of that, you've got a couple of things here. You've got identity and tables. Now this is gonna grow. So if you've got an app and you wanna I want to allow people to use their Google accounts, their Microsoft accounts, their Twitter accounts to authenticate, walk in the park. I'll just use the Azure SDKs, bring them in, and I can then authenticate with those users. Easy tables, Rich showed earlier on. Again, making it very easy for people to consume those. And that's gonna extend to things like offline sync and so on. Their kind of aim here is to make the use of Azure, the including that in your app, super easy regardless of your Xamarin or something else. So worth keeping an eye, this is a kind of a private beta invite only at the minute. You can sign up and request it. I'd probably hold off, to be honest, until the new year, and it'll get much more functional and so on, but it'll go into a more public beta and then obviously general availability as well. But you can go onto the site, go onto the Connect site, you can sign up. I'm sure we can get you links to that stuff. Well, say in the interest of time, I think we'll call it a day there, and I will pass on to one of our partners. I think, is it TechEnable up next? Is that right? Yeah? Oh, it's about to ask my question. Awesome. Thank you.